Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and with me, we have a very special guest on our show. Our leading lady is Erica De La Cruz, and she is a media and TV personality, so no threat here, Erica. I just want you to know I'm like still in like I'm not all that with you on the show. Erica is a TV and a media personality, and she's amazing, and what you need to know about Erica is that she was one of our very first original Sue Talk presenters at our Sue Talks. And our topic today is on Erica's Sue Talk, which was called Dear World. And so, Erica, introduce yourself to our listeners. So excited to have you on the show today.
Hello. How are you? I'm super excited to be here. Thank you, Michelle, for that wonderful intro. Yeah, I think you sort of took it away. My name's Erica De La Cruz. I'm a television and media personality. I was so excited to take part in the Women Lead Conference last month, and I was one of 8 Sue Talkers, and that's right, the talk was
first
titled The Dear World. Right, the launch.
It was.
Of the
you
Sue
were
talk,
one of the first.
Right?
It is, and I want to ask you, because, you know, one of the things I always love to jump in, because we're going to talk about your background and all that, but, you know, those other talks out there is what we're trying to rival with the Sue Talks, those other talks, quote-unquote. And I was kind of curious, it's like, can you share with our listeners, it's like, you know, if they don't know what TED Talks are, first of all, know that they're very passionate, very bold talks, but you were one of our first Sue Talk presenters, and you and I talked about this for a long time. What was it like, first of all, deciding on what talk you wanted to do? How did you land on Dear World? And then, you know, how did you prepare for it? Kind of curious how it all came together, because it was amazing. And we're going to make sure people can see the video release that's going to happen in a couple of weeks. But what was it like kind of preparing and choosing your topic, and how did you go about that?
Yeah, awesome. Well, you know, it's funny, with the TED Talks, which TED Talks are awesome. They're out there. They're super insightful. I really enjoy them. I've seen a few of them. So when I was approached about Sue Talks, it was refreshing and pretty innovative that it was Sue rather than TED. It was a play on words, since it was a women's leadership conference. So I really appreciated that part. But more so, I love the structure with the Sue Talks and who Sue is. And she's successful. She's unstoppable. She's empowered. I loved the profile on this woman that we were talking about that is essentially each of us. We're all Sue in a way. And so I really loved and kind of ran with that. And let's see, how did I prepare? You know, I actually, it's funny, Dear World actually came after the talk had concluded. And someone said, you should probably call that Dear World, because so much of that theme was laid in within the speech that I was like, yeah, the Sue talk is definitely called Dear World. And I started with a bit more structure and, you know, you start the same way you'd start a writing project, essentially, with a thesis and the main points and a takeaway. But then as I got more comfortable with the group and with the organization, you know, you as well as others encouraged all of us to sort of pull from our personal stories and our background in that sense. And then after I did that, sort of, therein lies the truth of what I considered the truth and what I really wanted to leave with people, which was a more, you know, more of a recount of my personal journey, what I've taken from that, and what I've called Dear World, which essentially a few years back was this idea that every day you're writing a letter and every day you send out that letter into the universe. So, the content of that letter is up to you. Your interactions, your nonverbal cues, your personality, the way you interact with others, it's all part of the letter. And essentially, I want people to read mine, and I want it to say something happy and positive and empowering, and leave. I want to leave a positive message with everyone I come across, in turn hoping that they'll go and spread that, because I've received so much love and support in my life and going through things, growing up and getting through college and into my first career, that I didn't want it to stop at me. I wanted to, you know, metaphorically write this letter that I get to send out to everyone else, because I've been I received so much good, and what I call everyone's good letters. You know, I've read them, right. I've gotten to know their stories, that I wanted it to sort of flow through me and out into everyone else that I meet and touch, rather than stopping at one person.
You really did. Your talk was so personal. I mean, there. I have to say, Erica, you know, because I was in the audience to know that, and I know there were some not dry eyes in the room. I mean, there were tears, you know, for how personal your talk was. And you know, what I loved most is how everybody not only shared, you know, maybe their passion, or it's like their personal journey as it relates to being a leader, or what they've learned as a businesswoman, but you know, then they wrapped it up with a nice kind of, you know, message and, you know, what you can learn from it. But I'm curious on Dear World, do you have like written Dear World letters that you do, that you're collecting? I mean, I'm like, this is going to be a mantra for you, I know, but are you doing that, where you're actually writing letters like that? It could be, you got a book, that's a book. There's my idea for you, Erica, it's a book.
Right. Dear World, the book. Yes. Unintentionally, a few years back, I got this burst of energy and inspiration where I started listing everything that I was grateful for. And that's sort of what I remembered, that I had made this list. And then I looked back at the list a week later, and I hadn't remembered, but I had titled it Dear World. And so, yes, because it came so organically, since then, whenever I'm listing things that I'm grateful for, which I do every other day, I try and do that, I now put Dear World at the top just out of habit. So,
yeah.
I keep the recount, but it's mainly things that I'm grateful for. And because essentially you're writing it to yourself, too. If you're part of the world and you're sending it out to everyone in it, you know, we're all part of each other. We're made of the same. We're all made up of stars. So when you're, you know, recounting what you're grateful for, it empowers you to go out and amplify it. And then kick butt. And I mean, in a career sense, it really puts you in a better mood, which allows you to have better interactions with people who ultimately run the businesses. And yeah, I think you thrive that way.
And no, I love that. And I'm curious. It's like, you know, because again, I do know, of all of our Sue Talk presenters, the one, you know, feedback that I got so much on your Sue Talk was just how personal and, you know, just my gosh, you know, a young professional, a young woman like yourself, you know, who's in her career with, you know, who has gone through the experiences that you've gone through, you know, at such a young age, and then to share those on stage with, you know, almost 100 people, you want to go, oh my gosh, I mean, this girl's like a superstar. And so I'm curious, when you were giving your talk, and now that you've been interacting with people, do you feel, you know, from the feedback you've gotten, how much your talk and your presentation resonated with others? Are you feeling that?
You know, I am. And I'll say it was a little bit, it was scary. It was intimidating to go and be so vulnerable in front of a crowd, specifically because someone's like, you'll give a speech, and then you start thinking of topics that are more mechanical. And then once you realize this is my personal story that I'm about to go share with all of these people, it can be a little daunting. But yeah, afterward, I felt so much relief and love, I guess, from the audience and the crowd and people who have sort of heard about it. And what I absolutely love is that I'm hearing a lot of their stories and, you know, the letter that they want to write every day. And that feedback really, really motivates me, because similar to me, hoping to, you know, touch people's lives with a speech or a talk every day, Dear World, you know, I am writing this letter every day, and I'm hoping to make these great impressions. So this was just an impression in a huge way. Thank you for that opportunity. It's been great to sort of get that feedback and be able to maybe connect with someone who's experiencing loss or setbacks or obstacles that seem, you know, that seem impossible. Really, they're gifts in disguise, I like to say. They're just so good at being in disguise that you can't really see that they're gifts quite yet. But if you muddle through it and give out that good, I think it'll come full circle always. So.
It does. And I know you had a great message. And, you know, one thing to know, it's like if any of our listeners want to listen to Erica's Sue Talk, it's like there will be a link on the radio show as soon as we publicly release after our video premiere of all of the Sue Talk presenters. So you're going to be all over, Erica, in just short
Yay.
Order where everyone can hear your Sue Talk.
Yay!
But, you know, I want to shift gears because I think one of the things I know about you is how much, you know, you have a very, very deep passion to help empower young women, you know, for what they're looking to do. I mean, and I just, every time I talk to you, I'm inspired to think, my gosh, I wish I could have been that adult when I was in my 20s. But share with us and for our listeners just a little bit about what your focus is to empower young women, you know, and what you're doing to support them or kind of your mission and your mantra
mm-hmm.
there. What are some things you're involved in with that?
Yeah. So, I mean, my ultimate goal is to empower, like you were saying, young women to begin writing this letter of their lives with purpose and intention. Some people, self-development can sometimes have a stigma or stereotype that comes along with it. And, you know, living with intention often falls within the line of those things. But it doesn't really have to be in self-help books and those type of things. I'm thinking that if you combine pop culture and entertainment and fashion and this idea of female empowerment, I've turned all of those things toward, I guess, a younger demographic of women who I would love to just see thrive and express themselves in the ways that they want to. I always call it a passionista, where you think, you know, you need the, yeah, you, it's okay to be, you can pursue your passion and you can also kick butt in business or starting your own business if that's what you want to do. Some of the organizations I work with, Social IT in New York City and Career Contessa here in Los Angeles, they are all about providing information to these young women in careers. They provide, you know, resources for experts and things like that, similar to Connected Women of Influence, which I love so much. And I think that's so great because to have access to these resources at a young age, I think really empowers them. And often when you have a love for something, a hobby or, I wear a lot of bright colors, I like fashion and entertainment. Some people think it might stop at a hobby or something you do in your leisure time. But really, I think you can incorporate that into your work. Or if you want to make that your business, make that your business. You can pursue your passion. And if that's something you want to pursue on the side while you have, you know, a corporate job in the working world, I also categorize that under the passionistas because it's maintaining your day job while also working, you know, on your dream job. And you can do both for a bit while you come together. But I think it's really important for younger women to get into that. High school, college, even middle school, just becoming empowered with this and doing it intentionally. Sometimes I think that people think that life happens to them or opportunities come to them. But if you plant the right seed and get in the right mindset, especially for these younger generations, I think they'll realize that they are the active start and the subject of the sentence, if you will. It starts with them, so they can go pursue these before life happens to them. They can go take control of their lives and future and, you know, career paths. So I love that.
You know, that's pretty cool. No, I do too. I wish I would have gotten that rule book when I started. I mean, you know, I kind of grew up thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, the world is here for me to go get. You know, and life is hard. You know, life can be hard to people. You know, nothing ever goes according to plan, not always. You know, the why in the road sometimes happen and you think it's a straight road ahead.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, how did I get derailed and detoured? So, you know, you've got some really cool stuff.
Right.
I want to know, just from the standpoint of, my gosh, you know, where did it come from for you to really want to focus in and help empower other young women? I mean, I'm not saying that you're not normal. Let me put it this way, but I'm saying it's not normal, Erica. Most people want to go get a job, start their career. I mean, you're looking to give as well as, you know, kind of build yourself? I mean, where did it come from that you decided you wanted to help empower young women?
I think it's funny. It probably stemmed from the college to career transition was super short for me. I was really fortunate in that I think there was about a week lag time between graduating college and stepping into this role as the marketing director for now Entercom Communications in broadcasting. And I think that it was such a short transition that I was still at heart this young, literally, this young girl who had just come from college, and it was so familiar, the internship life, the volunteer for opportunity life, the going to see career counselors, that was so fresh on my mind. But all of a sudden, I stepped into this corporate role, which allowed me to kind of utilize, basically amplify that in the sense that I started running the internship program at Entercom Communications, but with less than a year from me actually having been one. So everything was so fresh on my mind that I felt like these were my peers, you know, and I was so excited to help them that they came into this program. And I'm definitely a creative, so I liked creating all these programs and twists and turns for these interns, people wanting to learn about the business, and these little life hacks and tricks and tips that I had to learn myself muddling through these really hard internships in college. I wanted to give them this little handbook or some tips and those type life hacks. And it evolved into, you know, I really connected. I'm a female myself, just these young girls, hopefully me making a difference in their lives with this program and then coming back sort of after these semesters for help or a resume critique. And I felt such a camaraderie, and that it was more than I was running a program that they were involved in. It was more like we were forming this coalition of go-getters and just this inspired group. And then from there, Recycled Novelty had reached out, and they do something called the Girl Boss Movement. It's huge. It's all about these, you know, again, little go-getter young women. And they reached out to do a feature, and from there I found all these other groups and organizations. And I was so inspired that I just wanted to, again, pay it forward, make sure it moved through me rather than stopping at the help that I got. So it's awesome.
Pretty cool.
Good.
No, you've got a great story. I mean, and again, like I said, at a very young age, where I'm going, man, you're like an onion to be peeled back on all your experiences. But one of them, you know, because I know if anybody meets you, they'd be like, oh, my God, Erica, you have everything going on. Everything's perfect. Everything's wonderful. Because that's just how you come across, you know. I mean, but you're real and authentic. It's just that you're packaged really well. Your personality is plus. And, you know, for our listeners, just because I know, you know, everything's always kind of a facade, but can you share maybe a couple of those tips that you feel for some of our listeners? Maybe they know other young professionals. Some of our listeners are actually young professionals or millennials. What would be maybe a couple of tips that you could share with them if they're feeling like their career is not on track, or they really don't know what they want to do, or they're thinking, you know, there's a phrase one of our other Sue talkers said, and she, do you remember Sherry Nassim? She goes, what would you like to
Sherry.
Do before the world should on you?
Should
and I went,
you.
Oh, man, that's a gem as well. So I'm curious what would be some tips you would share. Yeah, that one's perfect, isn't it? I was like, awesome.
Yeah, no, and Sherry, again, Sherry Nassim gave such an amazing speech. Like, I can't wait to rewatch that one. And she's at the Center for Executive Excellence, right? Yeah. So, yeah, and tips, let's see. So tips for other, up-and-comers / millennials. I mean, I would say if you're not looking, recently I heard a really good quote that I didn't think that I'd believe until I kind of started thinking about it a little bit more in depth, from Casey Neistat. He's a YouTuber, so he's all over YouTube. He's huge. He makes a vlog, so a video blog, every single day of his life, Michelle. Like, I think he's at 73, but he's not stopping, and every single day he'll film these fragments of his life, edit it, put it on YouTube. Well, a lot of it is career advice that people send in, and recently you know, he got the question, what if I don't know what I want to do? It's so hard to figure out what you want to do. And his advice was, do something that you cannot stand, even for a brief period of time. Just start doing something that maybe you really don't want to do, and it'll really quickly point you in the direction of what you actually want to be pursuing. And at first I was like, you know, is that right? And I was thinking about it, and I guess that's a pretty good piece of advice, because thinking back, I had realized that I did the same thing, and I love restaurants and serving. It's what I did throughout college. But what I really wanted to do was take that really low-paying intern job at the radio station so that I could get involved in broadcasting. And by going to the restaurant every single day, I realized where I actually wanted to be, you know, went through the scholarship process throughout college and was able to make that transition through scholarship. So I think that's kind of a life hack, is go do something that you really don't want to do and imagine doing it the rest of your life, and use that to propel you forward or in whichever direction, you know, serves you. And the other thing is, what would you do for free if someone let you? If you knew you could not fail at something, anything in the entire world, what would that be? And my advice would be to make that list. And pretty quickly, your true passions will surface. And for some people, that is this, you know, a certain company maybe really resonates with you, or, you know, performing, or is it, you know, marketing? What really drives you, and what would you, if you knew you could not fail, what would you pursue? If you knew you were about to make millions and literally it was served up to you on a platter, what would be on it? What would be in it? And it's so fun to hear those answers too, which I'd love to hear. Yeah, I'd love to hear those answers. Did you know you'd be running an empire, Michelle? Is that what you put on your platter?
No, I totally did not. No, but you know, I mean, I think there's a couple of things. For, you know, it's always funny to me, just to share real quick, it's not always about the money. I mean, and trust me, it's like, I love money and it's okay to love it. But one of the things I always look at, it's like, you know, there's got to be a bigger purpose and passion to what you do. And I think that's what is just so frustrating for anybody. I mean, you and I, look at how different our generations are. And I have to say, one of the things I always admire every time I talk to you is just, you know, you've got the world at your feet, and, you know, and you think now somebody like me who's 50-something, and I've got war wounds, and I've got, you know, I've got some experiences that I look at and go, great success, you know, lots of learning lessons, things that I would do differently. I'm kind of curious, and I'm going to turn things around again. It's like, you know, I hear so much frustration with millennials, and I know you're interacting with young mm-hmm. career women. So what are some of the things that you hear about with young professionals that you just want to go, oh my gosh, I wish I could just talk to them and say, look, it's going to be okay. And what do you hear is their biggest frustration? Do they not know what they want to do? Is it that millennials feel like there's no place for them to go be successful, because you hear about how sad the job market is? I'm kind of curious. I mean, mm-hmm. what do you hear about?
I mean, as far as frustration within the millennial world, I hate to say this, because I experienced this, like I said, that short transition from college to marketing director, where all of a sudden we were hiring this, you know, this group of the promotion staff that were really close to my age. I was seeing something sort of reoccur, which was this, I guess my old general manager at Lincoln Financial Media at the time said it was blue ribbon syndrome, where millennials grew up thinking that everything was equal, competition was at a low, the education system was really encouraged to give everyone that blue ribbon, and, you know, first place, second place, and third place, it was kind of a thing of the past. Now everyone was on an equal playing field. So some theories say that followed them into the, you know, the workforce, where they believe that no matter what kind of job you do, the same results, you know, should be yielded. I've seen some of that. And for millennials out there, we call it the hustle. Like, essentially, do you have the hustle quality? Do you go above and beyond? Do you work your butt off, you know, toward your goal? Or have you sort of adopted this stereotypical millennial syndrome, which is blue ribbon, essentially, where the above and beyond, the keeping time, the being on time, and those administrative details that really go into getting a job and maintaining one, that sometimes they're lacking. And the complaints for millennials is, you know, I'm doing my best. Well, yeah, when you're in kindergarten or preschool, everyone's doing their best and they all yield the same result. So again, it could be conditioning. But, you know, on a brighter side, though, a lot of the good things I'm hearing from the millennial world that might not be so acknowledged, you know, by those hiring and in those management staff roles is social media and digital tools that are available to millennials really excite them. And now they're being used for, you know, to make income, revenue generation, Instagram,
yeah, right.
Twitter, Facebook, right. And people say that they've lost the connection, but essentially these millennials, there are like 13 to 18 year olds making a ton of money from, you know, just from just advertisements, from holding something in whatever posts they're posting about, or enjoying it as a hobby as well, and to connect with other professionals, which you might not be making money on the platform, but you're utilizing it to connect. And I think, you know, being, you know, in my early 20s, I feel like I do take a stand for social media. I love connecting on it. I think it's fun. I think that photos speak 1,000 words. I think it's all part of a letter that you're writing every day, except you write it, you know, with captions and tweets and photos. And you can really connect with people in your industry. The power of a hashtag, you can go search fashion or business or entrepreneur or, you know, entertainment, and instantly at your fingertips find so many other people involved or, you know, with the interest in the same thing. And that's really, really powerful. It just has to be utilized correctly. Again, what are you putting into your letter? Are you using it for good? Are you using it for progression? Or, you know, is it becoming retroactive, which in some instances, I mean, give or take, it could be. Thus, it might not be so such a hype as is being seen from people like employers and other people.
You have so much good stuff to say. And, you know, how with the Dear World thing, because we're almost out of time, and I'm just like, oh, my God, such great information. I love what you see from a millennial perspective. You know, I mean, I'm looking at it from the, okay, if anybody's listening to this, but it's like the 50-something perspective. I think I said, geez, shouldn't say, share your age. But, you know, for you, what is the future? What is your Dear World? Like, what are you putting out there? What's your purpose and your passion if you look out, let's say, a couple years? It's like, you know, where do you want to be? I really want to have our listeners know what kind of intention and purpose you have.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, I'd really like to be this message that I'm talking about right now. I'd love to expand that and have a count on the endless, you know, amount of people that I've hopefully touched with my own story and with my feedback on how to empower and encourage other women and tag team it in that respect. And then again, I'm in the entertainment and fashion world, and you know, my goal down the road, I'll be hosting a reality competition show, and I love the broadcasting and television platform. So career and turnkey mechanics, I would love to be doing that. Again, though, just to be able to sharpen my voice and amplify that voice from these entertainment platforms that I'm on so that I can just take it further with writing my letter with intention, Dear World, and making people happy. And I love everyone. That's so cheesy, but it's so true. I just love the world and everyone, and I want everyone to feel that love and spread it in business and in life pursuit and in interactions. And I would love to amplify.
Wow. I don't see how it could even better that. But, you know, I know there might be people that want to raise their hand and reach you. It's like, how do you want people to get a hold of you? I know you've got a website, and how do you want people to contact you? Share, please.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I would love to hear from you. So you can email me. So it's Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at ericadelacruz.com. I think this info is also on the CWI website. And, I have Instagram, Twitter. They're both underscore Erica Delacruz, so underscore ERIKADELACRUZ. Don't forget that damn underscore. Oh, I wish I didn't have it. And then I have my public Facebook, too. It's just my name. So I would love to hear from you. Say, yeah, dear world, dear Erica, I will write you back. I love it.
I'm going to go one further for you, and then I'm going to say that's the end of our show. But it's like, I want to see Erica has a book that comes out that's called Dear World. But let me
Absolutely. Let me know how we can help you with that.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I want to say thank you, Erica. Thanks for being our leading lady today. And I want to say thank you to all of our listeners who are loyal and continue to listen in on Women Lead Radio. And I'm happy to share that next week, I love you too, Erica, because we have a new leading lady, and she will be one of our Stew Talkers as well, our original ones, and that would be the lovely J.C. Kevel, who's the Client Relations Manager at Benchmark Environmental Services. And J.C. talked on, for her Stew Talk, it was on identity. And so I can't wait to talk to her because she's got a great story as well. And for all of our listeners, have a wonderful weekend. We will see you next Friday. And do what I please ask every professional woman to do in business, and that is go out and support and empower other women. Have a great weekend. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.